Hello and welcome to another episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. I'm James.
I'm Sarah.
And on this week's episode, we decided, I really don't want to talk about any politics that happened this week because things went crazy and I don't think I can handle talking about it without screaming. And I don't want to make this podcast or this episode especially screaming.
That's fair, because hashtag same.
So what we're going to do instead is read and react to some Reddit posts.
And I only opened up the first four.
Oh.
Okay. The first four. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop. I'm going to wait because this is a lot.
I don't think they're that bad.
I don't know, friend. I don't know which the AR one.
That one's funny. I like that one. That one's hilarious.
That is
so we'll start with that one. And it's rated not safe for work. So just as a heads up, if you're listening to this at work, put your headphones on, especially.
Yes. Don't be that asshole who's just listening to stuff out loud or when other people are around. That's weird. Nobody likes that.
So this is on r/confession, and it's posted by someone named Chicken of the Year. Weird username, but hey, whatever.
Weird flex, but...
And the title is "Bought a Meta Quest 3 just for AR porn and returned it." I mean, more power to you. I didn't do this. I bought an iPad for creating the new art for the podcast. Mm-hmm. And when I was done with it and saved it, I returned the iPad because I had no other use for it.
I love that for you.
So I did something similar, but not really, because...
But not really.
Let's get into this. So,
because this is worse.
So it says, I need to confess something that's been on my mind. A couple months ago, I bought a Meta Quest 3 from an electronics store that offers a 50-day return policy. I was really curious about AR and had heard the great things about it. But to be honest, I had one specific use in mind. I used it exclusively for AR porn. So, for those of you that don't know, AR stands for augmented reality. VR typically is how you say it, virtual reality, but some people say augmented reality too. Anyways, and it was absolutely mind-blowing. The level of immersion was just like, was like nothing I had ever experienced before for almost 50 days. That's all I used it for. Returning it was always part of my plan. It was way too expensive for me to keep. So right before the 50 days were up, I factory reset the Meta Quest 3, packed it up and returned it. Got my full refund, no questions asked. Here's the part that's been bugging me. I know they don't refurbish these returns. They just resell them. So now I can't stop thinking about the poor person who's going to buy it next with no clue what it was used for before. I didn't feel guilty at all while I was using it or planning to return it. But now I feel a bit bad for the next owner. So yeah, that's my confession. It feels good getting it out there, but I still can't help but feel a bit guilty for whoever ends up with that Meta Quest 3 that I next. So, I mean, it's weird that you used it for that, but there's no way that person's going to know. You're the only one that knows about it.
Right. And it's not like a regular sex toy, you know, where it would have to like be cleaned and all that stuff. So like, I mean, there's that, but I'm just like, are you sure that you're not just feeling guilty about using it for porn the entire time?
I mean, I don't really understand what the issue is. Maybe they have a porn fetish that they need to kind of talk to someone about, but to me, it doesn't make sense to be this distraught about something like this. Right. I mean, yeah, it's kind of icky, but it's just icky to you. So unless you actually think about it, just stop thinking about it. Move on, or buy one and just keep it and use it for that. And then you can just pretend like it was the first one that you got.
I
don't understand the issue.
People are too comfortable putting their shit on the internet.
It is weird. Yeah, there is a lot that gets put on here. But I mean, I guess if they didn't, then what would we talk about most of the time, Sarah? Because a lot of our... there's
true,
a lot of
But also, what the fuck?
I mean, it is kind of the thing of anonymity where you have, like, no one knows who this person is.
Right.
I doubt there's any identifiable information on their actual post.
Right. I'm sure that there's not. But.
Or on their actual, profile, which I don't even think there's actually profiles on Reddit. It's just a name, and then it shows you like your stuff, like stuff that you've posted.
Right. Okay. So the next one that I was looking at was my mom spent thousands on rehab. I can't tell her I relapsed.
Yeah. I wondered how you would feel about this one because I have certain feelings.
So I read it. Okay. Let me read it to everybody and then I'll tell you how I feel about it. So I was a hard user for 6 years, heroin, fentanyl, meth, coke, you name it. I needed to get out of state to get sober. My mom spent her entire inheritance on my rehab. My sobriety is so important to her, myself, of course, and everyone around us. I'm a totally different person than I was before. I used drugs because I was sad, and now I'm not. So when I started smoking weed again, it didn't lead to other things, and it never got out of hand. I smoked once or twice on the weekends at my boyfriend's house, and occasionally microdose at home before bed. After a few months of that, I found out I was pregnant and immediately stopped. Who knows? Maybe it saved me from things eventually getting out of hand. My son is now 13 months old, and I'm still exclusively breastfeeding him, so I continue to stay away from the weed. I think maybe one day, once he's weaned, I'll enjoy a little gummy here and there if it doesn't eat my conscience alive, because I don't think I can ever tell my family. It's hard to explain to people the idea that a little weed won't hurt because I'm using it for a different reason than I was before. I'm not trying to cover up any feelings. I'm not trying to escape reality. I just like to chill and have a little giggle and a yummy snack every once in a while. Once you've stolen thousands of dollars, precious family heirlooms, and several cars, gone to jails and rehabs and drug courts and almost died, any type of drug use, legal or not, is hard to justify. So, I have a lot of thoughts and opinions on drug use for several reasons. One, because my father was a drug addict who died in prison. And because I myself utilize weed. I have microdosed shrooms before.
I wonder if that's what the person means by microdosed, though. Are they talking about microdosing, like...
I think they're, like, talking about microdosing weed in that they're taking just, like, a really small hit before bed. Kind of
like
thing.
Not oil
smoking
or something.
A whole joint or using, like, some cannabis oil, you know, something like that. Because I don't... mushrooms kind of keep you awake, so I would think that microdosing before bed wouldn't be an ideal thing. However, while I do believe that weed is not addictive in the same way that other drugs are, because you don't get addicted to the weed itself. you get addicted to the feeling that you get from the weed. And I think that if you already have a problem, you know that you're an addict, like that you used to do a lot of really hard drugs. The reason that people do those hard drugs is because of how it makes them feel. And so it could be really dangerous smoking weed or like even doing small amounts of weed if you're not, like, if you're using it specifically for the feeling all the time. Like, that's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
It's just like, because you're already, if you have an addictive personality, which obviously you do, it could be very easy to fall back into that trap of being addicted to the feeling itself, not the weed.
And it does sound like to me the person is now using it for maybe anxiety, to treat their anxiety or to help them sleep, and which, not like, so much for the high of it anymore.
Exactly. Which, like, I'm super supportive of that.
Yeah, I would say it might help a little bit more to, so let me say my stance and then I'll kind of go into what I think. I'm not a huge drug fan anyway, no matter what. I don't, like, no drugs to me. Drugs to me don't make sense, but that's because my family has a lot of addiction issues. Like, my dad has alcohol addiction issues. My mom has drug addiction issues. My sister and brother both have alcohol and drug and all that stuff. So it's like, I would rather not touch it. That, and because I know that it's like a slippery slope for the people in my family. So there's no reason for me to use it or to even start trying to use it.
Right. But you drink.
But not really. I haven't had an actual drink in like almost a year, probably. I don't actually drink. Like, I say that I have like one drink during brunch, and most of the time I don't. So it's like maybe once a month I'll have a drink at brunch that's obviously watered down because it's at a brunch and you're paying high price for it. So I think maybe the last time I had it was like a month ago. I had a drink and it's one and done. Like, I have one drink at brunch. But that being said, marijuana and the ability to use it and different parts of it to treat things like anxiety, like chronic pain, like some mental health disorders, it's best to kind of go through that with someone that's licensed and has the ability to kind of monitor it and say, this is what you need. This makes sense for the most of you, the use that you're trying to use it for. So there are people at like dispensaries that you can talk to about, here's what I want. Here's like my background. So it would make sense for you to, like, they would say it makes sense for you to use this. Don't do more than this. And then when you run out of this, come back and we'll get you set up with some more. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I get where they're coming from because there is that issue that their family has gone through all this turmoil because they've stolen stuff. They used their mom's entire inheritance, which I don't know how much her inheritance was or what it was from. And that is kind of sad, but she loves you enough to use her inheritance to help get you the help you need, that she might understand if you kind of walk them through how it's being used, and that if you're working with someone, which I highly recommend, then I would say have them meet that person and talk them through how it's like what you're using it for. Or if you start feeling it, then stop using it.
Yeah, there you go.
But addictions are hard, and I do know that. So it's hard to say that, and it's kind of the same thing for me where with like depression, it's hard for me to be able to empathize with someone because I don't quite understand that level, like that type of thing.
Right.
Partially because I've never had to do it, but also partially because I try to avoid as much as possible.
Right. It's, there's a lot of like research now that goes over like the different things about addiction. So like it took a really long time, but I came to terms with, you know, my father's addiction and also recognizing that I'm a different person than he is. And
I need to stand.
I look over and James is just like slowly sinking down to the ground is what it looks like. But desk is actually rising.
Well, I notice that sometimes whenever I'm sitting, the way that I sit, it kind of like puts more pressure on my diaphragm. So I run out of air faster.
Oh, well, don't do that. Anyway.
So I'm going to stand.
You know, good for you. I do not remember where I was going with that. Because I got distracted. So we're good. We can go to the next one.
Okay. So the next one is called My Boyfriend Wants Me to Give Him 50 Grand. And this one's kind of weird and it's on r/advice. So it says, so I recently got a huge blessing with a lump sum of money and my boyfriend of 5 months asked me if I would give him $50,000 hypothetically. My response was, what do you need it for? What would you need it for? That's a lot of money. This started a huge argument. He said he asked that question because he already knew the answer to it and wanted to prove a point. Basically, he claims I'm fake and I act stingy. Is that how you spell stingy?
Yes.
I guess I've never seen it written. Stingy with money. He told me if he had the same amount of money, I would... He had the same amount of money I had, he'd give me $50,000. And he even says his ex and close friends would also do the same. He keeps trying to make me feel bad or feel like I'm wrong because I wouldn't give him $50,000. We've only been dating for 5 months, and that's way too much money to just be handing out to someone I've only just started dating. I don't want to waste money on a person that could be temporary in my life. Am I not right to not want to give him $50,000? That's...
Five months.
That's like...
That's... I wouldn't even ask... Okay, wait. Wait. I wouldn't even ask, you know, somebody I've been with for decades for $50,000.
Yeah, that's weird.
And also, what the fuck? Why do you need $50,000?
Yeah,
what are you
I don't
using it for?
I don't understand the issue with asking what do you need $50,000 for? That is a lot of money.
That's really sketchy. Why would you need $50,000?
Even if I had $50,000 to give you, I would need to know a reason you're needing $50,000.
Exactly. Like same. If I had $50,000 and you came to me and you were like, "Hey, I need $50,000." I'm going to ask questions. What?
I mean, Ryan and I have been dating for almost 10 years. Well, 8 years. So in 2026, yeah, it'll be 10 years. And I wouldn't give him $50,000.
Right?
Without knowing. Like, maybe if... Again, he would have to explain to me what he needs the $50,000 for.
Right. Like, he needs it for surgery or something like that. Like,
yeah. Or like... I need it as like an advance on this book that I'm trying to publish or something like that.
Right. Like something. Like I cannot.
I would also need to understand, am I going to get it back?
Right.
If I'm just, I wouldn't ever just give away $50,000.
Right.
Especially if I had more. Like, if I had that type of money to just give away $50,000, I wouldn't be giving it to a person. I would be giving it to a charity or something like that.
Right. Like, I just, I can't think of a good legal reason that somebody would need $50,000?
I mean, not a legal. Well, I guess the only thing I'm thinking of is like, I couldn't think of a reason that someone would need $50,000 and not be able to explain why.
Right. And I guess like, that's what I mean by like legal.
Yeah.
You know,
like explain to me why you need it. I don't care to give it to you as long as I know why I'm giving it to you. Because it's like right. You're just going to use it to.
To do what?
Buy a new car or whatever. I don't even know what you would do for $50,000.
I don't either. Like $50,000 is more money than I have ever made in a year.
Oh, the next one I have was removed.
Oh, no.
That's sad.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, we can still talk about it because it's pretty much in the title.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Although, there was some information in it that wasn't in the title. I guess I should screenshot these now from now on. That sucks. So basically the next one is my daughter 16 is pregnant. I've told her biological father and he's claiming he'll take her off child support if she does not give the baby up for adoption. And they're in Indiana. So that was part of the reason I chose it because it says that they're in Indiana.
Right.
So, I mean, there are some people that are giving a lot of pretty sound advice. Like this person talks about the Indiana Department of Child Services says that child support cannot be stopped until the child is considered emancipated. So they have to turn 19. The child gets married. They're on active military duty. They're no longer under the care or control of either parent. And approved by the court. And the child is 18, isn't enrolled to high school or college, and hasn't attended high school or college for at least 4 months and can support themselves through employment. So there's no way, and it did say in the thing that he was going to be taking her to, he was threatening to take her to court to remove child support. And I will say the other thing that was included in the post, now that I'm remembering it, was that he's the one that imposed the child support on himself. So like he said, I want to go through the court and have the child support requirement put on there so that I can know that I'm supporting the child. So it's not all bad. I think it is kind of the fact that you're saying because she's pregnant, you don't want to support her. You are going to take her off child support. And then the other thing that was included in the post was this girl is like, it's not very much child support that he's giving, and they were paying for her AP classes. So like advanced placement. So she's an intelligent child.
Right.
So I don't know. I think it's weird. I don't think you should be going to Reddit for legal advice.
Right. I also don't think you should be going to Reddit for legal advice.
Even though this subreddit is r/legal advice, don't know that I would ever go to Reddit for legal advice.
Yeah, no. All right. The next one is one that we're returning to the Am I the Assholes? So this one is, am I the asshole for texting my best friend late at night in bed when my husband was there? And this has already been deemed not the asshole by Reddit. So just prefacing. Last night, me and my husband were both in bed getting ready to settle for the night. He was on his phone asking me to order him something online as I have a free shipment on that website. I ordered him one item, and then while he was browsing the website, I replied to a text my best friend from work, female, sent me. He got angry, saying that I can't even devote a few minutes to him, that it is wrong my best friend is texting me that late at night, etc. I said that I didn't do anything wrong, as my best friend, who he has met a few times, He asked me to see the texts from that day, counted my replies, 28, and asked if I were okay if he was texting someone so often, especially that late at night. I said that he's crazy that I'm allowed to have a best friend, female, and to text her as many times during the day as I want, even late at night. I would understand if he was upset over a male friend, but this is crazy. So am I the asshole for texting my best friend late at night in bed when my husband was there? I would say that I would not understand if he was upset over a male friend because he, like, you can be friends with any gender. But also, what the absolute fuck?
Yeah, I don't understand it. Like, why are you so upset? She's responding to a text message. Neither of you were paying attention. You were both on your phones. You were both doing something. Why does it matter that she was responding to someone? It's not like you were engaged in conversation. I could see getting annoyed that, like, you're trying to carry a conversation and the person is just glued to their phone. That I could understand getting annoyed about, but from the discussion or from the context that she included in her post, it doesn't sound like that's what it was. Like, it just sounds like he was annoyed that she was texting so much. And it's like, one, does he pay your bills? And two, do you not have unlimited texting? Like, what is
Right?
this?
Like, is this the early 2000s?
Like, yeah, are you a teen in the early 2000s and your dad is saying you're using too many messages because now our bill is $400 when it's supposed to be 100? I don't
Right?
understand this.
Like,
Like,
what? Who cares?
what is going on?
Who cares what, like, who they're texting and why? Like, what the fuck? And it's not like, it sounds like from, their description that they weren't even in the middle of like a conversation. He was just browsing on his phone. Like, what the fuck?
And also, why make him pay like buy his own stuff? I don't
Right?
understand. But and it sounds like it's probably Amazon. So it's like, why wouldn't you just have give him your login to Amazon and just let him use your Amazon?
Exactly. There's a comment from somebody who goes by the username What the Tyrannosaurus, which I love, by the way. That's amazing and I love it. But there's one specific piece that I want to highlight. Your husband is out of line and controlling your communication with your friends and family, counting your texts, what is path to abuse behavior. If it's not addressed, it could get worse.
Yeah.
And that was the very first thing that went through my head. As especially because this happens a lot, in particular for female domestic violence victims or AFABs, is that the abuser will try to cut you off from other AFABs. Specifically because they believe that they'll talk her out of it. That they'll figure something out and be able to protect her. Like, they know that if there's anybody at all there, that they're going to be able to do something to disrupt the abuse and disrupt the control.
Yeah,
And like,
it's very weird.
it is very weird. Part of the patriarchy is dividing women rather than allowing them to come together and protect each other. Because you're easier to control when you're isolated. And that kind of behavior right there is so terrifying. Like, I'm like, this is your husband, the person you're supposed to be able to trust. If they're behaving that way, leave them.
Yeah, it's very weird. So moving on to the next one, which I think is hilarious. Did you read the next one?
I just I just read the title.
So it's on r/advice. And I don't the title is misleading. I don't, because I thought, so the title is My Friends Are About to Name Their Daughter After My Boobs. I don't like that word. I would rather you say breasts. And I don't know what to do. So it says, my best friend, Sarah, and her husband, Matt, are about 2 months away from having their first child, a baby girl. A few weeks ago, they told me that they've decided to name on the name Dolly after me. Now, Dolly is not my real name, but instead the nickname that I've gone by for years. And basically everyone in my life knows me as such. Regardless, I am extremely flattered and super, super excited for them. However, I was first called Dolly by a middle school bully for my fairly large breasts, just like Dolly Parton's. After a few years of hating being teased like this, right before my junior year of high school, I kind of did a 180 and started to like it. So much so that for my senior year, I stopped going by my real name, Allison, and started going by Dolly. Sarah knows Dolly isn't my real name, but she doesn't know about the backstory of the nickname because A, it's pretty embarrassing, and B, she's never asked. But I now feel morally obligated to help her avoid a naming mishap, because if it is a human child. What do I do? Is there anything for me to help her without revealing my secret? Should I just roll with it? Help. I'm going to start off by saying, more than likely, if she knows that your actual name is not Dolly, and you have very significantly large breasts, she probably understands why you go by Dolly.
Possibly. But also,
you could just lie to her and tell her it's a family name.
Yeah. Anyway, here's the reason that I'm stymied at this moment. It is because I recognize some of the details of this Sarah.
It's part of the reason. Well, her name's not Sarah.
No, I know. Her name is not Sarah. But the person who's going to be naming their baby after her is Sarah.
Yeah.
I know a Sarah who's getting ready to have a baby in a couple of months. And now I'm tempted to be like, so what's the name?
What's your daughter's name going to be?
Like, what's...
Oh my God. Live reaction on the podcast. Message her now.
What's the name picked out? No, because she won't message me back immediately anyway. But it's like, interesting. But
I think, do you know her husband's name? Is her husband named Matt?
Yes.
Sarah, you have to find it out. You have to find it out.
And like, she's literally due, like, soon, like in a couple months. Like,
I don't care. You have to message this person. I don't care that they're not going to respond. We can jump in and do a recap.
I'm gonna be real casual and be like, so what names are you thinking?
Oh, this is fun. That's hilarious. But I mean, also, they can also just say, oh yeah, Dolly Parton. She's a pretty amazing person.
True.
That's a good name to have associated with anybody, because she's pretty amazing. So it should be an honor. And also, your childhood bully gave you a great nickname, because Dolly is associated, like I said, with a pretty amazing person.
Right. Agreed. So I texted her. So
we might have a recap for next week.
Yeah, we might have an answer by next week. We'll see what happens. Oh, my God. Too wild. Anyway, but also, that just made me think of, like, when I was in high school, I named my own boobs because I had double D's in high school. So I was like, David and Daniel. Like, don't ask me why I named why I name my breasts masculine names, but whatever, it's fine. We won't talk about all the signs that I was an NB the whole time. But anyway, so, like, it's whatever. Like, that's, I don't feel like that backstory is that mortifying, but also, like, it is a little weird.
Also, I find it funny that you still don't have the new background.
Yeah, I like the old background. Like, I like the new background. I really like the balloon dogs. They make me very happy.
So I like how we're talking about this. No one on the podcast can see it.
Right? It's true. But anyway. Anyway, so moving on to the next one, which is on r/confession. I tell customers at my work that I'm dyslexic because I can't count. I am literally just stupid, like really fucking dumb. I'm so sorry. When I'm cashing someone out and then they decide to go, oh wait, I have 68 cents. My brain turns off and I can't do the math. I don't want to pull out my calculator either. I often say, oh, sorry, I can't add that change in because the system needs to count every coin/bill. Not true. Other times they go to hand me the change and then I freeze and look confused. The customer can tell and is able to tell me exactly what I need to give them back. And I just go, oh, sorry, I'm dyslexic. I usually just go off of what the customer tells me and pray they're not ripping me off. And as soon as they leave, I double check with my calculator. I hate to fake a disability, but the absolute embarrassment and harassment I get from some of these customers is excruciating. When I tell them I'm dyslexic, they kind of relax a little bit and apologize for being rude. I've actually gotten to the point of almost crying because I'm so stupid and can't count change. I hate when they make a scene. Okay. So here's the thing though, is like, you could actually have dyscalculia.
Yeah, and that's what a couple people in the comments are saying too.
I'm like, you're not stupid, friend. Like, that's a neurodivergent thing to freeze and like that, especially in that instance. And that happens to me sometimes too. What's fun is, for me, it's like when I'm counting change back to somebody, especially like if it's coins, I don't even think about the math. I just know what the coins are.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, oh, I need, you know, if somebody's supposed to be getting change back, that's like, for example, 84 cents. Okay. If I have to give back 84 cents in change, I'm not thinking about the actual math of it. I'm like, oh, that's 3/4, a nickel, and 4 pennies.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally all I think. I don't think about the actual math. And that's how I've learned to cope with it. Because before I figured all that out, it was very difficult for me to give change as well. Like, the only reason I can do it is because I know mentally the coin or the bill specific that needs to go back, not the actual math of it.
Yeah, it is kind of weird, but it does seem like there is some sort of, it's not just that you're stupid. There is some sort of like neurodivergence that is in there. And it kind of reminded me of the Rhode Island Pride Festival where I was digging through the cash trying to give people money back and kept having to like wait for a second and figure it out, because it's like, just give me $3 or just make it $5. Make everyone's life easier and to make the entry fee $5. So it's interesting. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I also find it weird. Maybe, I don't know. The fact that they have the system should be telling them how much money to give them back.
Right.
Even if it's like one of those old school cash registers where you type in the amounts and then hit enter and total it out. If you type in like minus 20 or whatever, it'll give you the money back. Like, it tells you what money they need to give them back.
Right. Now, I understand like a little bit about what they're saying of like if somebody like tries to give them the change after they've already started the transaction.
Yeah.
Like that, absolutely. Like, friend, everybody has that problem.
Like, yeah.
I've never met somebody who didn't have that problem.
Except like, to me, wait. I would be like, oh, cool. That makes it my life so much easier because now I just round up to the next dollar and that's what I give you.
Right. But like, for me specific, like with, because I do have dyslexia and dyscalculia. I was diagnosed with those back in the 90s because I really struggled with that. So I just memorized a whole bunch of things. And that's how I do things, is I just memorized it rather than actually like reading or doing the math. So if somebody is just like, oh, wait, I have the change after I've already done the thing, that throws me off. Like, because my brain is already like focused on, okay, I need to do this, this, and this. You know, so like, for example, I had already given somebody their change because they'd given me cash. And I could technically, I had not completed the transaction in the computer. I could have gone back and added an additional item because they were like, oh, I want to get this too. And they like, but for me, in my head, I've already given the change. Like, I've already done the processes I was supposed to do. So I can't do that. I can't cancel out of what I just did and, you know, go from, and then calculate from there. I have to actually like finish the transaction, start over.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it is weird. So moving on to the next one, which is kind of it's also on r/legal advice. But again, you really shouldn't be going to Reddit for legal advice.
Correct.
And it says, I was jailed for the same crime twice. What should I do? And that's a misleading title because that's not the way that I read that means that they committed the same crime twice.
Mm-hmm.
Not that like the actual situation that happened.
Right.
So it says, I've already been jailed, went through trial and sentenced for a crime. 2 months later, while I was still on probation, as per the sentencing of said crime, I was pulled over for a routine traffic stop. During the traffic stop, I was informed there was a warrant for my arrest for the crime that I had already been sentenced for. I spent 3 nights in a holding cell until the jail realized, I assume after being told by the court, that I had already been sentenced for this crime, at which time I was promptly released. My question is, should I sue? Is this something I'm owed restitution for? I missed 3 days of my life, including the 4th of July, that was for what I was told was a computer system error.
I would.
I would say, I think the question is, was there any monetary damage that was done by keeping you in, or like putting you in jail? And if the answer is no, then there's really no recourse.
I disagree. And the reason I disagree is for, I actually have a couple reasons why I disagree. One, it's 2 months after the fact. Two, why did they not have a lawyer?
I mean, like, yeah,
because it is weird. If they were properly arrested, they have a right to an attorney, and it shouldn't take 3 days for the attorney to find out that they've already been sentenced and like for the crime.
Yeah, it is weird that it took 3 days for a court.
So it was 2 months after they had been sentenced. Okay. And sentencing and a trial and everything, all of that takes months to do. Okay. So it's been 2 months after all of this, because that warrant for the arrest should not be there anymore.
It doesn't say what kind of warrant.
They've already been jailed.
But it could have been a bench warrant because they may have missed something with their probation, and that it was cleared up and it just never got resolved.
No, because...
Well, it could be. Yes, it could be.
No, it couldn't, because they're only on probation because of their sentencing.
Exactly. But you still have to check in with your probation officer.
Right. And it says that the warrant is for the crime that they've already been sentenced for, meaning that they weren't on probation before. Because if you violate your probation, you don't get a second chance. You go to jail.
That's not always true.
Yeah, it is.
No, they...
You have to go through a whole other probation situation.
Not typically. Not in all situations. I won't say not typically. I'll say not in all situations. If you are supposed to check in with your probation officer and you miss it for whatever reason, there's a bench warrant that's then typically sent out. And then if you get it cleared up before... you get arrested for that bench warrant, the bench warrant gets resolved or dissolved or whatever it is. You don't automatically go to jail if you 100% violate your 100% violate your probation. Yes, that is jail time.
No, and new sentencing. But what I mean is that if the reason that they were jailed previously, okay, because they were jailed for something, went through a trial for something, mm-hmm. and were sentenced for a crime, okay? Now, if they had been on probation when they committed the crime and were jailed and sentenced and went through a trial, they would not be allowed to go back on probation.
Oh, that's not what I'm saying. And I don't think that's what they're saying.
Right, which is why I'm confused why you're saying the thing about a bench warrant, because they specifically said that they were sent back to jail for the crime that they committed
and had been sentenced for. That's what I'm saying. I don't think is 100% accurate in this statement.
No, but what? Okay. I don't understand where we're getting confused here.
I don't either. I'm going back down. Give me a second.
Okay. All right. So let me try to figure out how I'm trying to phrase this, because I think it's my phrasing maybe that is getting us mixed up. So okay. I'm not okay. If it had been a bench warrant, okay, for some probationary violation, they would have been told that when they were arrested, because they have to tell you what the warrant is for, okay? So if the warrant was for the crime that they committed and were sentenced for, which is what they are currently on probation for, then it couldn't be a bench warrant for a violation of probation.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. I don't know that they're 100% being honest that that's what the warrant was for. Because they don't typically issue a warrant for a crime. You're arrested and you go through sentencing. They usually only issue a warrant if you don't show up or you don't show up to court.
No.
There's not typically another warrant issued for a crime that you are in being sentenced to. Does that make sense?
No, because there are, okay, if there was a warrant out for their arrest for a crime, which they have now been jailed for and went through trial for and sentenced for, okay, and it's 2 months later, like, there's no reason that they should have gone to jail at all.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't make, their story doesn't make sense because it doesn't sound like the arrest warrant was for the actual crime. It sounds like, based on their description, it was a bench warrant because they didn't follow something in their probation. And
but no, if it had something to do with their probation.
I'm not done. I wasn't done. Hold on. The warrant, they would have been able to say, I have been sentenced for it. You need to contact my probation officer. The probation officer would have been able to work through it. They wouldn't have been in jail for 3 nights if it was just they were arrested on a warrant that was 3 months, 4 months old. That wouldn't have happened.
I don't understand where you are. And I'm not sure why I don't understand.
I don't either.
Because, okay, but I feel like you didn't read this the way that I did. Okay.
Okay. So, and that might be the title issue that I was referring to earlier.
Right. Okay. So I don't know why I keep disappearing just because my
hand. You're putting your arms near your head.
Okay. So I was jailed for the same crime twice. There should be a comma there. What should I do? Okay. So they had already been jailed, went through trial, and were sentenced for a crime. 2 months later, so it's 2 months after they were sentenced, while they were on probation for that sentence, they were pulled over for a routine traffic stop. So then during the routine traffic stop, they were informed that there was a warrant out for their arrest for the crime that they had already been sentenced for. So they were told that the crime that they were being arrested for was for one that they had already been sentenced for. And then they spent 3 nights in a holding cell. Okay, so I see where, I see what's happening here. You're coming from the point of view of this person. This doesn't make sense. This person's lying. Whereas I'm coming from, This doesn't make sense. The police officer didn't do their job correctly.
Well, it's not. So I guess not so much that they're lying. It's that they're excluding information to make their story sound better than it actually was. Just but, that's 100% my assumption that they're excluding information because
so the next thing that I want to say is the comments. So two of the top comments, the first one says, I'm a lawyer. Yes, you should contact the nearest reputable attorney that handles section 1983 claims civil rights violations. This is worth a few bucks for sure. And these lawyers generally take their cases on a contingency fee. Okay. And then immediately following that is, this is the right answer. Not your lawyer, probably not barred in your state, but I do false arrest / over detention cases fairly regularly. And this would seem to qualify. Your situation will likely be extremely state specific, as only some few states have civil rights statutes, and you may have a difficult time overcoming the deliberate indifference standard for a 1983 claim in federal court. Like, so I'm not the only one who's going, wait a minute, this is not, this is a civil rights violation.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's not, if that was actually the situation. I just don't, I don't see in any situation where he wouldn't have said, you need to contact my probation officer because you're telling me that I'm, there's a, an arrest warrant for this specific crime that I've already been arrested for, sentenced for, and I'm on probation for. Mm-hmm. My, the probation officer would have been able to provide them with the information they needed as soon as they contacted them.
If they contacted them, because this person was in jail for 3 days.
And that's what I'm saying.
Apparently did not have access to a lawyer.
That's why I'm saying I think there's information that's being withheld from the actual, what actually took place. Because, I mean, yeah, there's, that's civil, against their civil rights, if they're not providing them with a phone call the time that they get arrested. So there would have been something, maybe they were on drugs or they were drunk or something like that. That's still not 3 days, that they had to like come down or get off of the, like get sober before they could give them a phone call, because that is a requirement. They have to be like at a state where they're no longer drunk or they're no longer high before they can give them a phone call. Like you can't just give someone like that's belligerently drunk, let them have, make a phone call. They have to be like put in a drunk tank basically for overnight or whatever. So there's information that's missing. To me, it sounds like, it seems like there's information that's missing from this listing, from this post.
Okay. I guess with everything that I know and have read, and also just a little side note, when I was in my car accident, the officer who took, like who took my police report was new. And in my police report, it stated that I was a man, I died, and I fled the scene. So, yeah. I'm less inclined to believe that.
I'm saying that, like, to me, if he was there and coherent and able to say, hey, I need to speak to someone, then he wouldn't have stayed in jail for 3 days. That's just my statement. We can move on to the next one, because I think the next one is more of a conversation than this one.
Oh, I didn't even realize there was another one.
Yeah, there's just one more.
Okay. I didn't even realize there was
another one. And it's the thing that people bitch about all the time.
Oh.
Do you want to read it or do you want me to?
No, I can read it. Is it okay to not tip at fast food restaurants, US? I noticed that many fast food restaurants now have the option to tip shown on the card reader screen with many choices, 10%, 15%, etc. These are fast food restaurants where you stand in line to order your food, then you take your tray to a table. It didn't used to be the case before. Is it okay to just not tip, or am I an asshole for not tipping? So I'm not sure what fast food restaurant is doing that.
I'm not either. And they might be talking about like a small family owned fast food chain in their, like their house or their state, town, whatever.
Right. The only thing I can think of is like Starbucks.
Yeah.
But there's always been an option to tip your baristas.
Yeah. So I'll say, and it says a couple of places in the restaurant or in the comments, Subway, if you go to Subway now, there's an option on the little card reader to add a tip. There's also, we go to Five Guys every couple weeks. There's an option there to add a tip. So there are some like chains like Subway, those places that do have that. And I will say it's more than likely not something that you're required to do. It's just right, baked into the automatic like food service point of sale machine that they have that they can't turn off, they can't deactivate or whatever, because they're just paying for a point of sale that is used by a bunch of other companies too. So to me, the thing that you need to remember with this, that people need to remember with this, is if you choose nothing, the person that's cashing you out doesn't see that. And it's more than likely, if you do tip something, it's going to get divided again across all of the employees that are working there.
Right.
To answer the question, it's fine to not tip at a fast food restaurant. I don't see a reason to tip, especially if it's like what they're discussing, like where you are ordering your food at the counter and you're taking the tray and sitting down.
Right. Like,
there's no reason to tip there.
Yeah. Obviously use your best judgment, but like in that scenario, like unless it's at, honestly, for me, unless you're at like a Starbucks or something like that, you know, but also I guess you also have to think about it from this angle of things, where you may not want to be going to that establishment anymore, because if they're not paying their workers, you know, enough, I guarantee that they're clickbaiting to get workers by saying, oh, well, you can make up to XYZ amount.
Yeah.
And they're going off of the tip. So it's a way that some companies are skirting being required to pay, you know, a higher wage. Because remember, ladies and gentlemen, waitresses and waiters still make $3.25 an hour.
And well, that's in
like the majority of places.
Yeah. And in most states, well, I won't say most states, but Ryan has been a server in two different states now. It's if they don't make a certain percentage in tips, then they get paid minimum wage. Like actual minimum wage.
What's minimum wage?
$7.50.
Actually, I think it's $7.25.
Is it? It might be $7.25. I don't know. I haven't been paid minimum wage forever.
I make, like, I haven't had to make minimum wage in a hot minute, but minimum wage, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it is $7.25. You're right.
Yeah.
But it does vary from state to state, and that's not required, because I know there are some states that it's not $7.25.
True. In Texas, it is $7.25.
So. It's in Indiana, too. And that was like in 2007, 2008 that they implemented. Or maybe it was earlier than that, 2006, 2005. But I was working for Long John Silver's when they implemented $7.25 an hour.
$7.25 per hour became effective July 24th, 2009.
Oh, 2009. So I was working at Movie Gallery.
It's 2024.
I was working at Boston Scientific. Yeah, I was working at Boston Scientific. And we did get a little bump in wage. It wasn't very much, but I was also not getting paid $7.25 an hour.
What's interesting is that the minimum wage in July of 2007 was $5.85.
Yeah.
Okay. And then in July 2008, it went up to $6.55. And then in July 2009, it went up to $7.25. And it hasn't moved
since. Yeah.
So it went up, you know, three times in the span of, you know, 2 years, and then hasn't moved since. That does not make any sense to me at all.
Yeah, it's dumb. But back to this question.
Sorry.
One thing that I will say is I watched a video the other day where they were talking about the like the tip that gets calculated by choosing the percentage. Mm-hmm. And they were showing that there are some like calculations that are done for you that are incorrect. So like, okay, say it was like a $20 bill or a $20, like the bill was $20 and the tip is saying for this $20, it should be like $6 for a 20% tip. And it's like, that's obviously not 20% of $20.
Right. So I'm just doing some quick math right now. So if we were to bring the minimum wage up, right, in the same increases, so 70 cents for each year, okay, that would bring our current minimum wage to $17.75. And even in California, where the minimum wage is higher, it's still not $17.75. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. And this is, now it's getting political, Sarah, and I didn't want to get political.
I'm sorry. I'll stop.
I do think we do need to say something about the political atmosphere right now. And we talked about it last week a little bit, where it's like, we get it. The two options are garbage. We wish we had another option. And from my personal standpoint, I'm going to vote for whoever the Democrats put, because there is no world where I would ever vote for the orange man. And like, just based on all the stuff that there's, and I know he said something about this just the other day, that it was yesterday or this morning, that he doesn't know what Project 2025 is, or what is it? It's not Project 2025, is it?
Yeah, I think it's Project 2025.
So he doesn't know what Project 2025 is. It's not part of his platform or whatever. And it's like, you're obviously lying. It's going to cause a bunch of issues. We shouldn't, like, there's no way where, I don't understand how anyone is still okay with voting for this man, but people are. Doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand. And I've been seeing a bunch of stuff. Someone was like, if they had Jill Biden walking up on stage and it was still the ashes, she had the urn that contains the ashes of Joe Biden, I would still vote for that person, that the ashes of Joe Biden over Donald Trump. I don't know that I would go that far. I mean, I would just abstain from voting, but still, like, that would never happen. That situation would never happen. So I'm sure that the right-wing media is going to like take that and run with it, that of how crazy people are with about Joe Biden. And it's like, that's not what we're saying. You're missing the concept and the information and the justification behind what people are saying. It's the man that is going on the other side of the ticket is so insane and so crazy that no matter what circumstance, he will not receive my vote.
Right.
It's not because we are dedicated to this other person. We understand, and we're not saying he is better. I wouldn't say either one of them should be, but I'm saying there's no world in which, even if a gun was held to my head and they said, you are going to vote for the orange man, I would say, pull the trigger, take me out, because I'm not voting for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Insane.
No, it is. It's a wild time right now.
And it's not even so much that I think all of his, it's looking at what could potentially happen in his next 4 years. And the fact that there are two people that are ready to be hung out and are waiting for a Republican to come into presidency to then step down so that they can have someone nominate someone for the Supreme Court that is young and will be on there for a life appointment. Again, I think that's something that needs to be updated. You shouldn't have a life appointment to a Supreme Court because so much changes over the time that you are sitting in that position that if the people that are in that position don't also adapt to the changes that are going on in the world, then it's not serving the community and serving the country to where it should be.
Exactly. But also one other thing I do want to add in while we're being political, the United States was not founded on any religion. This is not a Christian country. We do not have a primary religion. And if you believe in religious freedom, that means freedom for all religions, not just yours.
Yeah.
So.
Well, are you doing anything fun this weekend? Do you have to work?
I'm working.
How was your 4th of July? Did you do anything fun for it?
Yeah, 4th of July was good. The Polycule had our own little barbecue. And yeah, we ate some really good food, hung out. Started watching like 3 different movies, got distracted. You know, it was a fun time. We saw some fireworks. Yeah, that was about it. What about you?
I have a problem with fireworks because the idiots around here have been setting them off all fucking day and until like 2 a.m. the other night.
Gross.
I was like, I hope you catch your house on fire.
Like, I love fireworks. I think they're fun. I think they're pretty. But I also recognize like they can be very triggering for people. They can be very upsetting for pets, you know, and like I feel like there should be, you know, rules. I mean, there are rules, but people don't pay attention to them.
They're not enforced.
Yeah. Like there needs to be like an actual enforcement of, hey, this person is clearly setting off fireworks and has been, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Why are the police officers not coming out for a noise disturbance? Like, it's no longer the 4th of July. Like, and even on the 4th of July, like, you shouldn't be setting it off until 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Nobody needs to be doing all that. Stupid.
It's crazy, but we didn't really do anything. Ryan, did I tell you Ryan fell?
No.
So Ryan said he fell at work. And he came home, I think it was last Saturday, I want to say. And he had a giant knot on his head on the right side over his right eye.
Oh, my God.
And then his right eye has been like, it looks like someone punched him in the face. Like his eye was black and swollen, like he couldn't see out of it the next day. And then he also hurt his ribs, apparently. But he was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to go to work on Monday. I'm still planning on it. I'm like, no, you really shouldn't. Also, right. did they file or did you file a report for a workplace injury? Because if you were at work, you've hurt yourself at work, then it needs to be reported. He's like, well, no, I was on break. I was like, it doesn't matter.
You're at work when it happened.
It doesn't matter if you're at work and something happens, then it is still a recordable incident. That is an OSHA regulation. So they should be reporting it. But he went to the I don't remember if it was Monday or Tuesday. I think it was Monday. He went to the walk-in clinic for his for his insurance provider or his doctor. And he was there for a couple hours and they did some x-rays and they sent him to the hospital. Well, he went to the hospital and they said there was nothing wrong with his head. It was fine. And if it wasn't hurting him, then he should be okay. But they wanted to look at his ribs and his lungs and stuff. So they did x-rays and looked at it and he spent like 8 hours in the hospital waiting for them to like come and talk to him about the results and talk to him about blood work and stuff like that. And he apparently had two compound fractures, not compound fractures, because it's when they, where they, it protrudes through the skin. Two fractures in his ribs.
Like Jesus.
A fracture in two of his ribs. That's what we'll say. And so like he's been hardly moving and in pain for the last couple days. And I'm like, but you still aren't going to report anything at work? I don't understand. So
he's
getting back to being able to work. Like he went to work today. And he worked yesterday. And he worked on Tuesday. Maybe Wednesday. I don't remember what day. But he has worked a couple of days since then.
I would report. I don't understand why it didn't get reported immediately. Because, like, somebody should have been nearby and seen it happen.
Yeah.
And should have reported it.
And, like, the next time you went to work, you had a black eye. And...
Right. So,
like, obviously, it's your... injured.
Oh my God.
I don't know. It was very odd. I don't know. But he is doing fine. And he went to the doctor like I told him to. And he's doing better. So.
Well, that's good.
We shall see. They gave him a breathing I think you've done it before where you are supposed to like breathe in and raise the.
Oh, yeah. I know what that is.
The breathing exercise. And he was like. Yeah. He was breathing in fully to raise it up to the top. I'm like, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get that little puck to the little smiley face. Keep it there until it gets to the top and then let go. And he was like, that's not what they told me. I'm like, then they didn't tell you how to use it right. So that's literally what that smiley face is for, sir. It's like you breathe in to have that little puck stay in that little space to help build up your rib, like your breathing capacity. And until it gets to the top or until it gets to a certain point, whatever they tell you to. It's like you don't breathe in as much as you can to get it to the top.
Yeah. That's
the whole reason behind using that thing to make it to where you're rebuilding your lung capacity.
Like, yeah, you're showing what you're able to do.
Yeah.
And if you're just doing it real fast, like it's not even supposed to be, you're not even supposed to be able to get it to pull up fast. It's supposed to be like a slower thing.
Yeah. And it is, but he's like, he's sucking as hard as he could and getting like the little puck. Because there's the little puck and then there's the little
yeah.
thing that goes up and down. He's getting the puck all the way to the top and holding it there instead of holding it at that certain point. And I'm like, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to hold it at that point with the little smiley face until it gets to whatever point they tell you, or if it's at the top, then that's whatever.
Yeah. Weird. Also, like,
if they told you otherwise, then they're wrong.
I've had to do that many, many times over the years as an asthmatic. It's wild.
Yeah.
Being an asthmatic is wild. I don't recommend it.
I don't think it's something you can choose to do, Sarah.
I don't think it is either, but I'm just saying, don't do it.
Well,
just magically don't do it.
Well, are you ready to call it a podcast?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. If you like this episode, please give us a like, a comment, and don't forget to follow or subscribe. If you'd like to give us a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, this will help get the podcast out to more people and help us grow. Feel free to follow us on social media. Our handle everywhere is @NowAboutThatPod. So if we don't come up in the search, then we're not on that platform. If there's something specific you would like us to discuss on the podcast, feel free to email us @NowAboutThatPod@gmail.com. Visit our website, www.NowAboutThatProductions.com, or you can leave us a voicemail or send us a text message with anything you would like us to discuss on the podcast. Our phone number is 765-557-4170. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you have a great week, since this will be coming out on Monday. And we hope you all had a safe and fun 4th of July, even though the country is losing its mind. And Sarah, have a great rest of your weekend.
You too. Hopefully nothing else horrific happens politically.
Right. All right.
We'll see.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.